This is Pastor Emery. Should young American girls be drafted into military service and forced into war situations? Our rulers are saying yes. Another question. Should young girls from Christian families refuse to register and instead insist they are exempt from the draft on religious grounds? The answer to that question is yes. Stay tuned. I will tell you how women are exempted from military service by the Bible. Thank you. I have been receiving phone calls and letters from all over America in the last few weeks from concerned parents asking, Pastor Emery, what should we do if the government tries to draft our daughter into the U.S. Army? I have also heard from some young girls themselves, Pastor Emery, I do not want to go into the Army. What can I do? So I am going to answer the question of whether women should be drafted into military service from the only book which contains the correct answer, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. And it does have the answer that women are not subject to military service. In the past, our government has exempted men from military service on the grounds of what they call conscientious objection. This has been done in all past wars, even up to the present time. As of now, no one seems to know that all women are exempt on the same grounds. I will show from the Bible that every female in America, regardless of her religious connection, is exempted from military service by the supreme authority of the world, God Almighty. And any man or any government which drafts women into the army is defying the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. You probably do not know that because there isn't a handful of ministers in this nation who even teach God's laws for our people and for our nation. American parents are being told today something no American parents were ever told in the past, that their rulers have the right to take their young daughters from their homes, force them to live in army barracks with strange young men, and train them to kill other human beings. Fathers, mothers, and daughters are frightened at the monstrous consequences. One military commander in Europe admitted to a reporter recently, and it was published in the U.S. News and World Report, that 30% of the unmarried women in his command at that time were pregnant. Some were pregnant from being raped on the military base, even in their own barracks. One officer reported that the female soldiers had to obtain military police escorts to walk to the movie theaters or recreation halls after dark, not in German towns, but on U.S. military bases. Some commanders, apparently under orders from the smiling born-again commander-in-chief, are requiring that female soldiers and male soldiers occupy the same barracks and use the same showers and latrines. The Equal Rights Amendment is patently unconstitutional and in violation of the common law of our ancestors, and yet our rulers are requiring all government branches, including the military, to operate under the ERA. All males and females must be mixed together. By and large, our people feel helpless in this terrifying situation. Neither parents nor their daughters know what to do when faced with a government such as ours, which simply tells them they must do such and so, and then makes it plain later that the alternative will be a term in a federal penitentiary. Of course, they will first tell you it is your patriotic duty to go. Then, if that does not work, then the threat of arrest and prison will follow. The major reason for our predicament and for the fearful situation which confronts young American girls is the almost total ignorance by our people of Bible law. Our people simply do not know that God Almighty has given us laws for our military, for warfare, even definite commands as to who would be allowed to go into combat and who would not. I am going to read those Bible military laws on this and the next broadcast. First, I want to read some prophecy. Turn with me to Jeremiah 6, and I hope you have your Bibles. If not, you should write this down and read it and the adjoining verses later. Jeremiah 6, God is warning Israel of coming judgment. Verse 19, God is speaking, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." In Jeremiah 9, God tells the Judah kingdom that he is bringing desolation upon their nation. Why? Verse 13, "Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice." This same message is repeated scores of times in Jeremiah and in the other prophets. When Israel obeyed, they were blessed by God. When Israel disobeyed, great calamities came upon them. 50,000 young American men died in Vietnam. Over 200,000 were injured or became drug addicts from the war. Now we are hearing that additional thousands of them were poisoned by our own government with Agent Orange and are now having deformed and mongoloid babies. Will we now see tens of thousands of young girls added to that list of dead and wounded in a war in the Middle East? How much does God have to allow to happen to America before our people turn to His law? All right, let us turn to the Bible laws on the military and on warfare. I am going to take the time to teach you the whole law on this subject, which will show specifically that women are not listed in the Bible for military service, and also that certain men are specifically exempted from combat, not from military service as a whole, but from combat itself. And the same law, which exempts certain males from combat, would also exempt all females from combat. You'll see how it works as we go along. We'll begin in Numbers 1, verses 1 through 3. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." That word number in verse 3 should have been translated muster. Some Bible margins will show that. It is from that word that we get the English muster, which means literally to assemble and count the militia. The militia here is simply all males over 20 years of age who are able to go forth to war in Israel. In verse 20, after the muster had been made, it says that Moses finished the numbering, quote, "by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war." It is from this law, and from more that I will read in a few moments, that our nation got its original rules for raising its armies. There was no draft of men by the central government in the original colonies. Each colony itself numbered or mustered all males over 20 years of age and trained them in the art of war. No girls, no females are mentioned in God's military laws, only males. The upward age was not always the same in our colonies. Some set the age at 60, some at 65. Some just followed the biblical statute, able to go forth to war, and included only those able to withstand the physical training and hardships, and dismissed all others, regardless of age. Then, when danger threatened, they simply mustered the militia. They were already trained. In fact, training was a continuous process, with each man doing some training during the year, just as we still do in our reserves and State Guard units. In this manner, the nation's entire able-bodied male population over 20 years of age was always ready to defend the community or the nation at any time. Any person of good sense can see the wisdom of this. Any enemy would think twice before attacking such a nation and would probably suffer defeat if it did attack. Only those who would desire a nation to be weak or vulnerable to an enemy would oppose such defense readiness as prescribed in God's Word. Today, the only nation of the Christian West which follows this to some extent is Switzerland, where every male citizen over 20 years of age must not only be trained in warfare, but must own a rifle and qualify with it every year. In fact, only citizens who follow this procedure are allowed to vote in public election in the polls, as it were. In any case, for the purpose of our study here, you can see that God's law not only established a procedure where the nation would be able to successfully defend itself in the event of war, but that procedure made no provision for numbering, registering, drafting, or mustering of females of any age. Now, in Deuteronomy, one of the books of the law, there is one chapter which takes up less than one page in most Bibles, and yet it has not only God's draft laws, it has all of the law principles necessary for the training for and the conduct of victorious warfare. I will read it to you next week, God willing, and I will close today with a story demonstrating the power of that one chapter of God's Word to prove the wisdom of God Almighty. And then I'll prove it to you next week. Pastor Robert Record and I have been going to Washington, D.C. every spring for some years. We usually have a few other men with us, and we spend 2 weeks calling on the congressional offices to tell them, "Thus saith the Lord." We tell them that America is in trouble because America is disobeying God's laws. We tell them that according to the New Testament, congressmen and other civil rulers are God's ministers to the people for their good. That's in Romans 13, and that means they are to rule and guide this nation according to God's laws, not according to laws they or someone else make up out of their own minds. We also show them that we are Israel, that America is the great Zion nation of Bible prophecy, and that the Bible tells us what is going to happen to America as prophecy unfolds into history. Several years ago, when the drive was on to end the draft and to switch our entire military over to volunteers, we arrived in Washington, D.C. just as the Congress had concluded over 9 months of hearings before various congressional committees on this subject. Was a volunteer army feasible? Could the military obtain enough men? Would the men be of sufficient caliber to maintain our defense forces? How much would they have to pay them to get them not only to volunteer the first time, but to stay in for 20 years, and on and on? The bill to end the draft, which would change our whole military to volunteers, was ready for a vote in the House of Representatives, so that in a number of offices, we saw this approximately 1-foot-high stack of committee reports assembled over the previous 9 months. Congressmen and their legislative aides were busy studying them to see if the congressman should vote for or against the bill, or perhaps should submit amendments to change it in some way. In some offices, when this came up, We would show them this one chapter in Deuteronomy and tell them this was God's law for the military and ask them, why don't you follow it? And we would tell them their volunteer army would not work. Eventually, our armed forces would deteriorate until they were useless to defend the nation. You cannot defend a large nation with mercenaries. And that was what they were proposing, a mercenary army, an army that fought not for patriotism, but for pay. In fact, what they were proposing was an army that would take its pay during peacetime and then refuse to fight if war came. Now, years later, many officers admit that is exactly what they have, that tens of thousands of men now in the services will not fight. That's why many officers now want to draft new personnel into the Army. Anyway, about the second day we were in Washington, we were talking to an aide of Congressman Steiger of Wisconsin. When the draft was brought up, he said, oh, you should talk too, and then he named another man who happened to be in the office. And he told us he was the coordinator of the committee hearings, scheduling all the witnesses from admirals and generals to lieutenants and sergeants and all the civilians and others whose testimony was requested. So he called the other man in, introduced us, and said, these ministers tell me that one page in the Bible will tell us more about how to run an army than all those committee hearings we've held over the last 9 months. He sounded a little sarcastic, which we could understand. After all, that is quite a statement to swallow, for they had several thousand pages of testimony. We were proposing to use less than one. Anyway, we invited them both to listen to that page. It is quite short and takes only a few minutes to read, and they both agreed to listen. One of them had a Bible, and they both followed in that as I read that chapter, explaining some passages briefly as I went along. This took perhaps less than 15 minutes, at the end of which they each asked a couple of questions, which we answered. And then the first man looked at the second one, the one who had worked on the congressional hearings on the draft for 9 months, and said to him, why don't we just take this, and he pointed to the Bible, and throw that all away, and he pointed at the foot-high stack of committee testimony collected over 3/4 of a year. The other man looked rather dumbfounded. He was obviously ill at ease. After all, he had just finished spending 9 months as a high-paid government employee, a professional in his field, picking the brains of several hundred military men and civilians, trying to find out how to best run the United States military establishment. And here, in less than 15 minutes, we had shown him exactly how to do it from one page of God's holy word. And the way in the Bible was obviously so superior to the way it was now being proposed to be done that he was speechless. He finally had to tell us, somewhat apologetically, that the die was cast. The bill had already been written, the appropriate House and Senate committees had voted on it favorably, and it was now scheduled for a vote by the whole House of Representatives that week, and America would go on an all-volunteer army. Nothing could be done but let it go through, and go through it did. And today, only a few years later, the American military is in a shambles, as we told them it would be. I will read that chapter next week, God willing, and explain it, as I did to those men in the congressional office. Be with me next week, if you can, when I read this chapter in the Bible on God's law for the military. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.